And we head into the happy hour on a Friday. We're already happy, but we'll get a little happier. Who knows? Got about half an hour to go before we get to Sam Levitz. EcoWater, SoCal, Padre pregame show. Then it's Padres and Diamondbacks tonight with Dylan Cease looking to make it three straight wins for the Friars. And not Zach Gallen for Arizona. He was originally scheduled, but the milkman, things came up a little sour for him.
Oh, hell.
Yeah, so, yeah, he's. We don't know if he's going to pitch in the series. It's not looking that way. It's looking like the Padres are going to get to play Arizona for three games and not have to face Zach Gallen or Merrill Carroll, Kelly or Jordan Montgomery or Eduardo Rodriguez.
Well, that would be nice.
So that's pretty good. Let's see if the Padres can take advantage of it starting tonight with Game 1. Slade Ciccone. That's right, Slade Ciccone, your pizza delivery guy.
He's not a pizza.
Is on the hill for Arizona tonight. Slade Ciccone, sausage and onions, please.
Oh, come on. By the way, I've talked to people in the building who think that you and Braden are strange for only ordering sausage and onion.
Yeah, well, that's fine. That's more for us. Don't order it.
More for us.
Just let us have it, because I really, that's how pizza tastes best. If you ask me, for all you know, Scraby, you've eaten quite a bit of sausage and onion pizza while you've been sleepwalking in your life.
You know, thank you to everybody out there who's saying that they've sleptwalked in their life. Diane says, I've sleptwalked and woke up in my parents' bedroom shifting through their laundry for a math book when I was in junior high. That's
really
pretty funny.
Okay.
Pete says, Scabby, I am a fellow sleepwalker. I have two of the craziest sleepwalk stories you've ever seen. Here's one that's crazy from M. McKee. My brother-in-law is a bad sleepwalker. He fell out of their second floor bedroom because they hadn't added the patio yet, opened the sliding glass door, and walked right out.
Yeah, that would be, wow.
Ugh.
Ouch.
I know.
They survived that?
I guess so.
I mean, second
floor.
Matt
McKee, tell me how they're doing today if you're still in the chat.
Yeah, man,
because
that person
that's
got
insane.
Hurt.
But why? My question is, why wasn't there like a board over that door or something?
Especially,
like that?
Did anybody know that there was a sleepwalker in the house?
He survived, she said. Good.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
I mean, he just face planted in the street or something, or in the backyard.
I don't understand. Now, have you ever woken up in the midst of eating some soap, or do you just come back the next day and go, chewed soap on the counter and you assume that you ate it?
No, I definitely have woken up in the middle and been like, where am I and why am I down here? And ugh, and I would, you know, spit out the soap
and I'm eating soap.
Yeah, the reason
I don't know why
you
call it a soap sandwich.
Well, because that's what it was.
What, you had a bar on top, some ham in the middle, and a bar at the...
No, I had a piece of bread,
oh,
soap, and a piece of bread.
Yeah, that's a soap sandwich, all right. Okay, that's a tough day.
When I was
tough
a kid,
hold
on, let me read this before I read this. Okay, when I was a kid, I sleptwalk in the kitchen, peed in the trash can, and walked back to bed. My parents say saw the whole thing and told me the next morning.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess there's a few sleepwalkers out there. Everybody be careful in your sleep.
Yes.
What can I tell you? Padres are 16 and 18 as they head into the ball game tonight. Lineup is pretty much normal. Profar remains on top. He and his .342 batting average. And then Fernando, and then Jake, and then Manny. Xander Bogaerts in the number 5 spot. One of these days, Xander, gonna get it going. We can only hope.
Yes.
Number 6, Jackson Merrill, who went hitless on the homestand, but back out on the road where he's hitting .438 this year. Number 7, Luis Camposano, Ha-Seong Kim, and finally Tyler Wade. Wade's at third base tonight. Manny is DHing. So there's your Padre lineup. No sign of Donovan Solano yet. For those that are hearing and thinking that something might be imminent, nothing has happened in that area. Nor do we know for any fact that it will happen. We're just, a lot of people are assuming that the Padres will make that move here shortly, but
there's a lot of smoke around it.
Yes,
so
there is.
There
has not happened
something
yet. So hold your horses on that one, at least for now. Basketball news today, NBA. The Lakers have fired Darvin Ham after two seasons, one of which ended up in the Western Conference Finals. Honestly, I'm a little tired of you know, successful teams firing their coaches, but I guess the Lakers think the grass will be greener somewhere else. Tyronn Lue of the Clippers had been one of the rumored replacements, but Lue just signed a contract extension today with the Clippers.
They were going to bring back Ty Lue?
They're bringing him back, yeah.
The Lakers were going to bring
Lakers.
Him back.
Well, there was some talk of it. Now it's centered on J.J. Redick, who I believe is
a podcaster
and TV host.
Do you think he's going to ask everybody before he can answer questions as the head coach, do you subscribe to my pod?
I don't know. I don't know if the Lakers are hiring Pat Bev as their coach. They're going to try J.J. Redick, perhaps. Anyway, Clippers with Ty Lue will look to stay alive tonight in Dallas. The other elimination game right now, Cleveland. And last I checked, Orlando was up by 4. Now they're up by 5. 47-42, 2 minutes to play in the second quarter of that one. All right, Mike Schilt spoke with the media down in Phoenix, as he often does before games. I wouldn't even say often. I think he does every day.
Except for day games.
Day games, he gets a day off.
A reprieve, yes.
From the media. But, yeah, he holds court there. The media throws a whole bunch of questions at him. Mike Schilt doesn't check to see if anybody, you know, subscribes to his podcast.
No, I don't know.
He just answers the questions
like
a decent human being. And today he was asked to go back to the big gamble on Tuesday night. And, of course, that was the one that Mike Schilt chose to take a run off the board and accept a catcher's interference call against Jake Cronenworth and set the table for Manny Machado to bat with the bases loaded. Manny could have hit into a double play and the Padres would have got nothing, but Manny didn't. He doubled. 3 runs came in. Mike Schilt has been wildly applauded for this move, as I believe he should be. But here is Mike Schilt talking about that gamble.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. In our ball talk of week before, you know, catcher interference had come up in a game. I mean, heck, we've seen it more. You know, it's crazy how often we see it now, but because guys trying to steal strikes and get close. But anyway, so Jim McHugh, our advanced guy, and does a lot of things really well for us, in our ball talk said, hey, just want to make sure everybody knows that's a live play and you know, keep playing it. And, you know, we have the opportunity to choose the result of the play, which was, you know, a nice reminder. And then so I just went out to Corey. Let me just make sure I get this straight, which I make sure he was getting it straight too.
Yeah.
Choices obviously take the out and the run. So there's 2 outs and Toddy's a second. Or take the run off the board and bases are loaded. We got 1 out with Manny Machado. And he's like, yep, that's right. And I said, well, we're going to take Manny. I don't know. It just seemed like a pretty easy decision to me. And everybody's heads goes to, oh, he could hit him double play.
Yeah.
He could do anything. Yeah, he could also do ball to gap, you know. So I don't know. I just, you know, choose to believe in our guys. And in that circumstance, it was, you know, Manny Machado with the base loaded with 1 out. I feel pretty good about it. Yeah, I knew loosely, not exactly the math of the run expectancies. So I had an idea about that supporting the decision a little bit in real time, but it was really about just having confidence in Manny.
There's no way he would have had time to go through all the run expectancy, math projections. I mean, you know, the umpire walks over and says, what do you want to do? Do you want to take the run off the board or do you want 2 outs and a runner, you know? Mike Schilt's got to decide right there.
Yeah.
But I think he did the only thing he could do. We talked about it the other day. You've got to believe in your players, and you can't just say it. You have to show it. And this was proof positive for Mike Schilt that he believed in Manny. And Manny made him look good.
Oh, yeah.
Right? If Manny does hit into the double play, then Mike Schilt's got hell to pay. But I also appreciate the fact that Mike Schilt was willing to put himself in, quote, harm's way there.
Yep.
And go ahead and say, you know what, I'm rolling the dice. And if he hits into a double play, I'll take the blame for it.
I like how it's got to be so hard to be a manager for a major league team. Because he said everybody's mind goes to double play. What if he gets out? So, you know, whatever. But Mike Schilt says, well, what he could also hit it into the gap. And that's how his brain works. My brain does not work that way.
No, most people don't.
My positive outcome did not come to my brain.
I looked over at the group there in the press box where I was was sitting, and most people looked back at me and said, really?
What's happening?
We're taking the run off the board? But I, at the time, didn't think you had a choice. I thought that was just the rule. Catcher's interference, play stops, bases loaded. But I did not know Mike Shildt had a choice. He did. He made the right one, as it turned out. More Gwen and Chris coming up. You'll make the right choice by sticking with us because you'll get to hear Jake Cronenworth on our Friar Friday interview after traffic. Hi, right, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Jake Cronenworth. Our Friar Friday interview is coming up shortly here to wrap things up. Ahead of Sam Levitt's EcoWater SoCal Padres pregame show. And then it'll be Padres Diamondbacks. Padres at 16-18 with a two-game win streak heading into tonight's matchup with Arizona. A couple of scores to pass along to you. Again, I don't care a lot, but I think it's an interesting streak. Colorado is leading at Pittsburgh 3-0.
Oh, wow.
The Rockies have not trailed yet in that game. They're trying to end a run of 31 straight games with trailing in every game, which has never happened in Major League Baseball before now. Basketball, they're at halftime, game 6 of the Eastern Conference first round. Orlando Magic 53, Cleveland Cavaliers 49. Magic need to win that to force a seventh game. NHL Vancouver and Nashville scoreless in the second period. Nashville needs to win that one to force a game 7. Otherwise, Vancouver advances. Vancouver's goaltender, although hurt right now, bears pointing out, young man by the name of Thatcher Demko.
I'll never forget his name now.
It's unbelievable. The guy grew up in San Diego.
He did.
And he's not just an NHL goalie. He's starting for a, you know, really good playoff team. He's hurt at the moment. They've been going with their backup. But Thatcher Demko, that's a great story. I mean, when you consider, what are the odds stacked against somebody from San Diego making it into the NHL?
You know, every time we bring up hockey in San Diego, I get a lot of people to say that there's a strong hockey program
right.
in San Diego.
Right, it's pretty
like
obvious.
Ice hockey. I thought they were talking roller hockey. No, it's ice hockey.
It's pretty obvious that it's strong. I mean, you got a kid in the NHL right now as a goaltender. Just so you know, there's, 30 teams in the NHL? They both have... Do they all have two goalies?
Yeah.
There's about 60 to 75 guys in the world who play goalie in the NHL.
And he's one of them.
He's one of them. I'm pretty impressed. So I'm kind of on the side rooting a little for Vancouver. I'd like to see if Demko could come back, you know, before the playoffs are out and see if he can't, you know, win one for America's finest city there.
I think I jinxed him.
You think you jinxed him? Why is that?
Yes, because you asked me to reach out to the
Canucks.
Yeah, I wanted
to try to get him on the show, of course.
And I did. And then the guy wrote back to me saying, oh, you must have not heard the news that he's hurt. And I was like, oh, I did not hear that news.
No, you didn't jinx him. He got hurt before we called.
Okay, good.
You were not the guy responsible for that
one. I thought the news came out after I'd sent the email.
You're not responsible for that one. I think one of these days, I mean, it would take a deep dive, but it would be interesting to, you know, put a little list together of great, you know, athletes from San Diego or with San Diego ties who don't do anything professionally in San Diego. Do you know what I mean? They, you know, Strasburg did it all in D.C.
That's true.
For them. You know, I mean, he's the first one that came to my mind, but there's so many others. You know, we are a breeding ground for great athletes. We're just, our trophy case is empty. And
it's very sad.
That bothers me.
It's very sad.
All right. If Jake Cronenworth has anything to say about it, maybe our trophy case won't be empty forever. He was our Friar Friday interview. It was mostly me because we'd had some technical difficulties, and we thank Jake ahead of time for putting up with that.
Seriously.
And sticking with this interview.
He stuck with us for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like,
but
while
all that,
we were trying to figure it out.
All that so you could hear him. Really excited about our Friar Friday interview today. Padre first baseman and all-star Jake Cronenworth joins the program here on Gwen and Chris. And Jake, good to have you kicking off a series in Arizona, but especially good to have you in the wake of a Grand Slam, you know, winning home run the other day against the Reds. You know, it's interesting in baseball, you're not allowed to, you have to turn the page. But when you have a day off after a Grand Slam game, Are you able to enjoy it a little bit longer?
No, I mean, you know, it's you want to enjoy those moments and the successes and the wins of the team and stuff like that. But, you know, when that new day hits, you kind of want to let it go because the next day is a new one and you want to, you know, try to get some more wins and celebrate those. So, you know, try not to reflect on it too much and just enjoy your day off.
Jake, in year two, moving from, you know, second base to first base, is there a part of you that feels more settled, and has that allowed you to kind of, you know, balance the focus level where, you know, you're not so much learning a new position?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when you go through different positional changes, and, you know, I've done it a lot in my career, you know, I think the biggest thing is, you know, not that, you know, maybe I tried to hit like a first baseman last year. I tried to do something different. I was, you know, I always try to be the hitter that I am and try to, you know, stay in those walls and be productive that way. But, you know, I think I've just taken the mentality at first base is just, man, just go out there and have fun and play some really good defense and have some quality at bats.
You know, sticking with playing first base, I mean, it's come to my just, you know, watching games. When I see the center field camera view and an opposing player hits a ground ball to that side of the field, my mind automatically thinks base hit because I see the angle. And then you take it away. Is playing off of the line as much as you do, how much of that has been scouting and film, and how much is that you've been just more comfortable and trying to take plays away?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of started in the off season and, you know, looking at some different things and how I can take away some more hits and, you know, give our pitchers a break that, you know, maybe a guy put a good swing on a ball and I can take away a hit in the four hole or maybe from a righty that, you know, kind of maybe hits a hard backside ground ball and talk with some guys in the analytics side and, you know, kind of more or less just where can I position myself to take more hits away and, you know, what can I do and where can I position myself to do that.
But you have to run like the Dickens to get over and cover first base sometimes.
Yeah, it's a little more running, which isn't great. You know, it's all right. It's worth it. That's for sure.
Jake Cronenworth is with us. Jake, there was so much talk about your off season and how much effort and care you put into, you know, rebuilding things and making sure you came back and have a successful season. Looking back on, you know, this off season, what do you think was the main couple of things maybe that have helped you get going and get back to hitting like you can?
Yeah. You know, I think it all started last year, during the season, actually, you know, when I broke my wrist. You know, I think I said it in spring training in an interview, you know, you never want your season to end with an injury, but, you know, at that point in time, obviously it stunk because I felt like I was really turning things around, but, you know, I think it was a, you know, a blessing in disguise and, you know, had some time to really evaluate and kind of open up the hood of that car and really look at things and break some things down and put some new parts in there. And, you know, some things I did in the off season was a lot of mindset and kind of how I carry myself at the plate. And, you know, even before the game when I'm doing my research and, you know, kind of how I'm going to go up there and take my at-bats and, obviously, there were some mechanical things in there as well, and not to say those aren't important because they absolutely are. And, but I think, you know, the mindset and the approach that I've kind of built throughout the off season and taken into the year is probably the biggest.
Jake, I think your opinion means a lot to a lot of fans, and I'm just curious what you think about the makeup of this year's team, what you've seen through 34 games. And, you know, some areas that you think might be a little bit different from the makeup of last year's team that will hopefully get this team to where it wants to go in October.
Yeah, I mean, first things first is, you know, we have a really, really good group. You know, everybody's pulling in the same direction from the coaching staff, front office, to the players on the field. And, you know, every guy wants to win. And, you know, obviously we're going to go through some tough times. We're going to go through some really good times, but I'll say, you know, I think if this team can get hot, this could be, you know, a really special run that we go on when it happens. And, you know, I think you've seen, you know, flashes of us, you know, down late, you know, 8-0 against the Cubs, you know, some of the comeback wins we've had against the Dodgers and some of the other teams that we played. I think you see that in the offense and on the pitching side, you know, man, both sides of the ball. You know, the quality at-bats that we're throwing up there, 1 through 9, and, you know, not just 1 through 9 in the order, but 1 through 9 in the innings, no matter what the situation is. And, you know, the biggest thing is we're just giving ourselves a chance to win and never giving up. And I think that's, you know, something that's huge for this group, and we've really emphasized. And, you know, the pitching side, you know, they've kept us in a lot of games, and, you know, it's been really, really good so far.
Yeah, it's Jake Cronenworth's season's been great so far. I'll leave you with this one, Jake, and again, appreciate the time. And where were you, and how did you celebrate it when Harbaugh and company grabbed Michigan's national championship?
I was in Houston, row 15 on the goal line at the game.
Ah, there's your where were you? What yard line?
I was right on the goal line.
Goal line. Okay, yeah.
I mean, I got pretty fortunate. They scored every single touchdown in our end zone that we were sitting in. All the interceptions were coming back our way, I think outside of one. But that was awesome to see. And, you know, going to all the games I've been to and, you know, seeing that happen in person was really, really cool.
All-time Michigan man, Jake Cronenworth, and a great Padre as well. Hey, Jake, thanks so much for the time. Good luck on this road trip. We'll see you back in San Diego soon.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you.
Very nice to Jake Cronenworth, as mentioned, to fight through some difficulties. And good work by Scraby, actually. Normally, I make fun of him for the difficulties. But this time, he solved the difficulties. He was running around here very like a, you know, guy with his hair on fire, but trying to get Jake's interview done. So we're glad he did that. Hope you enjoyed it. We're coming up on Sam Levitt and the EcoWater SoCal Padre pregame show. Scraby, what do you got lined up for the big weekend here? Anything exciting?
No, not really.
Absolutely nothing.
Not really.
You're going to be looking forward to our golf. We got golf, you and I, next Tuesday.
On Tuesday, yeah.
We're playing together for the first time in some time.
I'm looking forward to that.
And I'm worried about you.
Why?
Well, because your shoulder's been giving you problems.
Well, this is like the last chance I'm going to get to golf for maybe the rest of the summer.
But I don't know why you're even risking it now.
Well, because I have been able to golf. It's not something that's going to get worse golfing, but I need surgery. I'm getting surgery on June 10th. And then I'm out for like 2 to 3 months.
So you got 5 weeks of veritable good times left.
Yes.
And then the shoulder will be repaired finally for once and all.
Then I could go play softball too if you guys, or if Braden will ever have me again. I don't know if he'll ever have me again after what happened.
I don't know
last
that Braden
time.
Is really in charge of all that.
Oh, okay, perfect.
He's the most boisterous member of the team. I don't know that he's the actual decision maker on that team. But
he's the most boisterous.
Yes, he's the most boisterous. Braden is, but
is he a trash talker?
No, but he's a sore loser.
Oh, wow!
Did everybody hear that?
I heard one day
you know what? And show me a good loser, and I'll get, you know what I'll show you? A loser. So that's what I don't mind that. I appreciate that about Braden.
I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard that Braden is like a fiery manager type after the game, just telling everyone they stink.
Well, he doesn't like to lose. He doesn't like when we don't play well and lose. He's a gamer, and Braden's quite a good player. So
yes, he is.
We'll say that.
That is true.
All right, that'll make it work for the end of today. Scraby, thank you.
Thank you.
Tony Gwynn Jr. coming up on the broadcast with Mr. Agler from Arizona, but that is an hour away. First, you get to enjoy Sammy Levitt's EcoWater SoCal pregame show. We'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend, everybody. All of us, Gwynn and Chris at 97.3 The Fan.
Bye.